The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mr. Trent Green, how are you this morning, brother? Look at you.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, doing well. You know, with I had to go out and hire a personal assistant to just handle all these movie scripts that are pouring in for me. It's just been unbelievable. But no, I'm doing well.
This is going to be big for you, my friend. Is this your first time in a motion picture?
Yes, It is. How about, well, I guess first time acting in a motion picture. I have been in one, not by choice, but if you watch Kurt Warner, his Underdog movie, that talked about his life, there was a part of the movie was me getting injured. So I was like, wait a second, I don't want to see that again. I'm like, why is that? I understand why it was in there. And he had given me a heads up beforehand that was going to go on. But no, this is my first acting gig. And I tell you what, I wasn't, you know, at first I wasn't sure if I wanted to do it, if I wanted to be involved in it. And then the first thing they told me is, hey, listen, you're going to do a cameo as a bartender. You're not going to play yourself. You're just going to be a bartender. People come in to, you know, order a drink, that kind of thing. I was like, oh, that sounds pretty cool. And then I commit to it the next day. They're like, we've had a change of plans. Now you're going to play yourself. You're going to be wearing a jersey and you're going to throw footballs with the two lead actors. And I was like, I don't know if I want to, you know, because I kind of thought the bartender thing would be pretty cool, but sure. But it ended up being fine. They were great to work with, and it was a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, it's what an interesting twist to life, right? Now, I mean, you get to say, and I've been in a movie, which is, it's about, you know, this city, Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story, a Hallmark movie where in the end, everybody always gets what they want. Like, I know it's a formula, but what do I care? Like, man, I like a movie like that. Like, I want to watch the Bad News Bears at the end of Tappy. I want to watch, you know, Smokey and the Bandit where in the end he gets away. That's just good, fun movie magic, right?
Yes, it definitely is. And it's, you know, Hallmark has their way of making their movies. And they use a lot of the same stars in a number of different movies. You know, it was fun, the guy that played Derek, who was the lead character in it. He and I, there's a lot of downtime on the boot. Like, I got there, we had everything set up. I got ready. By the way, you're going to have some lines. I was like, I got lines. I just thought I was standing there. And they're like, oh, here's your lines. And so we just kind of went through them real quick and we did the scene. And the guy goes, hey, that was great. I was like, well, this was a lot of fun. Wow, this was quick. And they all started laughing. They're like, no, you're going to be here for a couple hours because now we got to move the cameras over here and take a different angle. Now we move the cameras and lights over here and do it all again. And now we're going to do the cameras from the other, you know. And so I was talking to, there's a lot of downtime. So talking to the main character who played by, or his character name was Derek. So he's like, oh, this is my fourth movie in like the last, whatever, 7-8 months. I've been on location here, and here. And I finally get like a month, you know, and these, I mean, this is what they do. And Hallmark is kind of his thing. And so he's done a bunch of different movies, different characters. But they've got a formula that works. He was great to work with. Everybody was. They did a really phenomenal job.
Well, people don't understand, like, you know, when you're a quarterback, you know, you're kind of self-employed. You're only going to be as good as your performance, and they're only going to keep you as long as you're useful. And that's what actors are, right? People don't get it. Like, they're famous. You think, oh, they just get what they want. Doesn't work like that. The second your job is over, you have to hit the streets again looking for your next job.
And well, a bunch of these guys. I mean, all the big slick guys, right? Yeah, I mean, all of them that come through that you've gotten to know over the years that you've had on the show. I mean, from Riggle Rudd all the way on down, right? Kechner and those guys. It's like... Yeah. It's the next gig. And yeah, you may have, you know, you may be Eric Stone Street and you have a series like Modern Family that runs for years and years and make money, but you're still an actor and you want to act and you want to keep doing your craft. And, you know, Rob Riggle and Sudeik, I mean, all these guys they've had big blockbuster, either movies or series or whatever it is, but you know, it's on to the next thing. Right. And, it is, it's a tough way to make a living, but when you hit that big one, you hit that big series or big movie or whatever it may be, but even if you do, you still want to keep I guess, working your craft.
Well, so. I tell you, I think it's hard to be a great actor. I think it's hard to find your whatever it is that people want out of you. But nothing's tougher than what you do. I think live television, like when you're out there, you know, you're calling the games and you're commentating on everything. You know, there's no script. You have to feel it because what's going to happen is going to happen, and you've got to work in the moment. And it is woefully unforgiving, man. But you've got a gift for that.
I tell you what, the thing is I like the live better.
Absolutely.
You know, cause we sit there and we do a lot of, hey, let's rehearse what we're going to do for the opening. Right. Cause we've got this, you know, usually anywhere from 2 to 5 minute opening that we're doing. And so we're going to blend in these elements. We're going to have these videos. We're going to have these graphics as backups. Let's work on the timing of it so we know the transition, what you guys are going to say. So you go through the rehearsals just for this little segment.
Right.
And there's a couple different things I have leading up to the game, different networks with our bosses in New York, with another show that CBS does. So I'm doing a bunch of different stuff prior to the game. And it's funny because I'm like, can we just do it live? Because live, like, there's no, oh, wait, hold on, we're going to go back and do, you know, I'm like, I understand because the people in the truck, audio, visual, lighting, camera, I mean, they all have to kind of practice run through it, like how I'm going to pace out what I say, how I'm going to say, where I'm going to look, the different things that are going on. I understand why we have to rehearse, but I love the live part of it more because, hey, you've got to figure it out.
Yeah.
Right? You're going and it doesn't always go smooth. It doesn't always go perfect. And I don't know. I prefer that part.
Well,
better.
that's where you're at your best. I mean, think about it. When you were practicing all those plays and you guys were at practice, you know, when you're playing ball, yes, it's important. But when it's real, the game is on the line. There's 80,000 people. Like that's the fun part. I figure you either love that and that's what makes you a great, or it terrifies you and that's what, you know, keeps people from being able to do it. But you have to love it.
That's a great point because I mean. People ask, you know, hey, what was it like to play in front of 80,000 people or 100,000 people in college or what, you know, it's like, what was it? And I was like, you know, at the time, I didn't really think about it. Like now I sit back and I look and I go, man, this is really cool. Or, you know, like how nervous were you? I go, I wasn't nervous. That was like what I worked for. That was, you know, some of the sports movies can get a little crazy, but I thought, the sports movies where they kind of get everybody focused in where it's like the pitcher on the mound and he gets everything to go silent around him and it's just him and the catcher or, you know, the quarterback or the hitter getting up to the plate or whatever it may be, the golfer, right? Everything just gets silent in your tunnel vision and that's what you have. That's for real. Like, that's the part of the movie that's like the realest because you kind of, all that stuff goes away and you're so dialed in on what you're doing that you forget all that stuff's going on.
No, and that's when you know it's good, right? When you're not thinking about it, it all just goes muscle memory or just whatever it is, you're just so in sync. Because it'll the same way, like if you'll do an interview, like you and I will talk and I'll go, holy hell, man, we've already burned through 25 minutes. But I've had guys I've talked to and I'm like, I look over and that clock is barely moving. And I realize it's only hit 4 minutes and I'm like, You know.
Well, it's the same way in the sports world. We'll be interviewing either a coach or a player in our meetings beforehand because we get access to them just because that's part of the TV contracts. And so there's certain coaches and players you love talking to, and you know, and the PR guys in the background going, "Hey, you got to wrap it up." We're like, "Man, this is awesome." He's like telling us all these stories, and we're just going. And then there's other people where it's like, "Well, I don't have anything else for you."
I think we're good here. Okay,
yeah,
bye.
Yeah, exactly.
You can tell when they don't want to be there. That's 100% for real.
Yes.
And
I'm going to admit to something. There have been a couple players over the years because I was on the other side of it, and I understand what the job the TV guys have. And so even though it may be the silliest question, or it may be, you know, a lot of people like that work behind the scenes in a game don't know a lot about football. They know their job, but they don't know a lot about the actual game. So sometimes the questions that come out may not be the most thought, you know.
Yeah, sure.
To someone that's been in it the whole time, it's not the best question in the world, but you get it, right? You answer the question and you handle it, and certain guys are great at it and deal with it and everything else. So I've been on the other side of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's real, man.
It's very real. But we had a player one time sat down and goes, just so you know, I don't want to be in this meeting. The only reason I'm here is because the PR guy's making me. We're like, cool. And in my head, I'm like, bingo. I'm keeping this guy for like 15 minutes. I'm like, I'm going to ask him so many questions. Because I was like, you're going to be that kind of jerk. Where that's like this is the first time we've ever met you.
That's right.
As our crew, he was only a second year in his league, but he's a really good player, a Pro Bowl player, all pro player. But he's like, listen, I don't want to be here. So the first three questions I asked, that's how he started every answer. I don't want, just to remind you, I don't want to be here. And then he gave me the answer. So the more he said it, the more I'm like, oh, I'm just going to keep firing questions. Cause now this has become a right.
Yes.
So anyway,
in your head, like what I do is I go, that's it. I'm going to win this guy over. I'll go right past. I'm going to annoy him by keeping him to like, I'm going to make it work. Like one way or another, you and I are going to meet somewhere and you're going to forget that you said that at the beginning. Cause we are going to end up being friends. And there's been some legendarily hard guys like that over the years. But you're right. You lean into it, and it's not a matter of I'm just going to keep you and annoy you. Then it becomes an absolute must inside my head, even at the expense of the interview. I'm going to crack that egg somehow.
Oh yeah, no, 100%. That's great to hear you say that because I've definitely 100% done that.
It's because, man, you want to do it. Again, it's live. You want it to be great. You want it to do something well. And I also want people to know, like, you know, when you do your work, you want them to understand that, hey, man, I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not here to even give you a puff piece. We're going to have a good conversation because I'm genuinely interested in what you do. And I have real questions for you. I'm not just sitting in this seat, filling out the suit, taking the check. I want to do this.
Right. And that's ultimately what I did with this. You know, we give them pretty easy questions, right? You want them to look good and you want them to succeed and you want them to come across well. Well, when this guy was doing this, I was like, okay, well, let's get into the meat and potatoes of it.
Yeah.
And so I started getting into the blocking schemes and what do you do when you're getting double teamed and you're blocking here and you got to get up to the, you know, you got to get up to linebacker. I mean, I started getting more into like the technical stuff where the other people in the room all of a sudden were like, we don't know what these guys are talking about, but you know, just let it go. So
he knew.
But yeah, no, 100%. You just got to feel it out and roll with it.
Yeah, man,
that's why I love the live part. That's why I love the live part.
So it's if you're just joining the show, Trent Green, we're talking about his cameo, of course, the pivotal scene in Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs a love story. By the way, was your wife, was she just like, oh my God, you are a movie star now?
Oh no, she's been with me forever. we did watch it last night. So here's the funny thing. So I was in where was I this weekend? I was in Atlanta getting ready for the Chargers and Falcons game, and I'm sitting there, I'm prepping for the game. In the background, I've got on. I went to Indiana, so the Indiana Purdue football game is on. Indiana's having a historical season, the best season ever in their history in football, and so I've got a big rivalry game against Purdue. It's on in the background. I'm doing my notes. I'm prepping. All of a sudden, my phone just starts blowing up. It's like buzz, 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 buzz. And I'm like, what? At first, I thought like an emergency. And I click it on, and I was like, oh, the movie's on. and the scene must have just happened because it was just buzz. And, of course, it's everything from, you know, my mom, oh, honey, you did a great job, too. My buddy's busting my chops, right? It's like, I can't believe, you know, so, you know, because a lot of people I didn't tell. I didn't tell because I never know, you know, you never know if the scene's going to get cut, if it, you know, because like I said, they originally had me as a bartender. Then they're like, hey, we're just going to have you play yourself and do this, and it'll be a charity station. And, you know, and I was like, eh, that's a scene that could probably get cut if they don't like it. So, so you never know. It only was a few hours, did a bunch of different takes, met some great people, and kind of got to peek behind the curtain a little bit and how they do this and how the production is. And it was really cool.
That's what I want to see. Like it would obviously be great to have any part in a movie, but what I really want to see is how do they set it up? How do they block the scene? Where is everybody positioned? How does the guy come in? How many times do you do it? What's it look like when it's happening? And I've seen videos, like music videos being shot, but watching an actual movie, I have a huge interest in that. And so I'm hoping before this ride gets over, I'm able to go out and see like a real major production done because I find the whole idea of it fascinating, man.
The thing that was cool is, and you can see in the kind of that scene where they're, you know, the start of it, they're ice skating and they see Mayor Lucas and they're kind of going down through there. But watching it and the way, you know, you have everybody's got their role that they're doing on the set. So you've got people that are controlling the extras. Okay, go, you know, and the people are crisscrossing in the back and they're doing this and they're laughing, but you're not allowed to laugh because audio will pick up your laugh. So you're actually laughing, but you can't have any audio. So it's just kind of a fake laugh. And then, you know, it's like you're in a conversation, but you can't actually talk because the mic will pick up what you're saying. And so it's kind of like a fake conversation. So just see all that and how it all comes together. And, you know, and then like you just said, you got to change different angles, different lighting, different cameras, different point of views, all those kinds of things. And then I was like, the first time I did the scene, and I was like, hey, listen, can I improv a little bit? Like, I don't want to like just jump in and do my own script, but I go, can I make it more comfortable instead of just burp, 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 you know, yeah. It's like, you know, and they thought it was cool. You know, they were like, oh yeah, go with that. We'll, you know, we'll do what you know, add a couple things here and there. So
I wondered how that would go, or they just go, no, you can't say what's on the, you
know what I mean? That's the first couple of times I was just like, okay, I'm going to be the robot and just do exactly what it says. And then finally, you know, they were just, I'm like, hey, are you guys cool if I just, you know, like the whole fist bump thing, like when they were leaving, the scene was ending, I, hey, or good luck, like which ended, like there was none of that, hey, good luck. And some of that was just like, I'm like, that just seems natural to me. Am I cool doing that? And they're like, yeah, yeah, just, you know. And so, I tweaked.
Tell me this, Trent, because this just brought up a question in my head. Has that ever happened to you when you were playing ball? And the coach was calling a certain play, and you're like, that's not the one that we should be doing. Have you ever just said, forget it, I'm just going the other way, and just ignored him, what he was calling for, and just done what you know needed to be done? Did that happen?
I would love to tell you, no, Johnny. No, I followed the book every single time. There actually were, and it's few and far between, and to do it, you better have a lot of security in your job. And, you know, sure. So I didn't change a play until I was much older in my career. And I changed it. We had success with it. It worked. And we got into the meetings the next day and the coach was like, hey, listen, congratulations, you know, all that, you know, this is behind, like in front of the team. Oh, great job. You know, nobody knew that I had changed it. And then he pulls me aside. And he's like, hey, I'm cool with that. Like, if you saw something, you wanted to do it, maybe we could talk about it beforehand instead of just kind of going rogue and chasing. He goes, but if you do it, make sure that the play works.
That's right.
make sure that it works, because not only are you going to have to answer for it, but I'm going to have to answer for it and, you know, have to all that other stuff.
What's the old saying? It's easier to get forgiveness than permission.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I didn't do it a lot because coaches spend a lot of time studying tape and getting game plans ready and knowing percentages of coverages and blitz packages and all that crazy stuff. And not that the players do also, but they spend a lot of time at it. So I have a lot of respect for the work they did, but it wasn't just that one time. There were a handful of times, that I just was like, okay, I think we're going to, or I'll come into the huddle and I'll say a play and I'll get that stink eye look from my offensive lineman. And you know, the guys that I had, the offensive line, you remember Wellborn and all those guys, like you step in with, you know, Hall of Famers, Willie Rofe and Will Shields and Casey Wigman, all those guys, Ryan Waters, they're all looking at me. Sometimes they give me that look and I was like, okay guys, it'd be like, you guys would rather do this instead of this. So there were a few times that I was going with what the coach said in a certain situation. And they're like, they gave me this look like, we're not doing that. Like we're going to, you know, those guys got it done when they had conviction like that,
right,
about wanting a certain play. Like I'm talking about like a third down, a third and short, a fourth and short, where they wanted to just punch him in the mouth and go get the yardage and pick up the first down. And I came in with some like, you know, oh, we got this perfect trick little play that's going to, you know, and I could just look in their eyes, like started to say it and I could just see them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, You guys just want to muscle up and just go, just freaking drive it right down their throat. And they're like, and they just kind of, so then I'd call. So sometimes I had to go with what those guys wanted.
Well, that's being a leader, right? Like you got to listen and you got to know when somebody's got it going and that they're going to do it, and you got to believe in them. And that's the key, right? You can't go out there and just be the guy who says everything and everybody has to listen. You got to be a leader, and to be a leader is not easy, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you, and I know I've taking up way too much time, and now we're getting into football instead of movies. But my favorite, I love telling the story. It's one of my favorite with that offensive line. We had a play against the Raiders. It was at home. We needed to pick up the first down. I called the play in the huddle. We broke the huddle. We come up to the line of scrimmage. At the defensive line, it's Warren Sapp, Hall of Fame defensive lineman. He's a big talker. He starts yelling out, hey, the ball's coming this way, the ball's coming this way, because he saw the way that our alignment and everything was, the way we were set up. It wasn't like a big secret, but he started yelling out, hey, everybody over here, come on, this is where it's going to be. And all of a sudden, you know, Brian Waters and Willie Rofe, they point at him and they're like, you're right, with a bunch of language to it. You're right. We're running right here, and you're not going to be able to stop it. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, how am I going to be able to? I'm like, the play clock's running down. I got to get the ball snapped. And I was like, you know what, you guys. I'm sitting there going through the cadence. They're yelling at each other back and forth on the line, and I'm like, well, here we go. You guys are the ones that did it. And they got it. They got the first down.
That's the Billy Jack, right? I'm going to take this foot and I'm going to put it on that side of your face, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah,
that's the Billy Jack.
I tell you what, it was awesome. That's why it's my favorite story. It's one of my favorite stories. It's just,
oh, dude, I love that.
I probably already told you guys. You guys are probably sitting there like, Trent, you've told us this.
Are you kidding me? That's the stuff I love about football. I love the stories. I love the moments of triumph and when you got to dig in. I love the stuff that gets hard. It's, you know, the strategies and the deep dives will lose me, but the humanity of that game, that what it takes to play, who's playing it, how they got there, why they got there. Dude, I love that stuff, man. That's the thing that draws me in every time.
Yeah, that's why every week it's more drama, right? I mean, just look at the game, you know, the games this past week. Obviously, playing on Black Friday, beating the Raiders, but the way the game ended. I mean, you can go through this entire season, and they're finding ways to win games, and it's not always pretty, and you don't want to apologize for wins, but finding ways to win, I mean, it's hard in this league. It's hard. Well, it's hard in life, but from an NFL standpoint, finding ways to win and just coming together as a team, so... It's pretty cool what they've been able to do.
Well, we made it to the playoffs. Now we've got, which threw me, though. I was like, really? So we're in the playoffs? We still have five games, huh? Which I guess has only happened a couple times in our career as Chiefs.
Right.
But I had no idea. I was like, so now what do we do? I mean, I know we want to play for position, but do you let your guys get rested? Do you let some of the guys take it easy? Do you try, you know, some second guys and third guys?
Well, I don't think you can. I don't think you can, because we've secured the playoff spot, but we haven't secured the division. Denver won again last night, so they're still alive in the division. The Chargers are still alive in the division as well. So we got the Chargers this week. We've got to go to Cleveland, which they don't have a very good record, but they've won some really big games. And Jameis Winston threw for like 500 yards last night and almost got the win against Denver. You got Houston, who's made the playoffs in the past. They're first place in their division. Got to go to Pittsburgh. So there's a lot of tough games coming up. We haven't secured the division, and we haven't secured home field advantage. We only have a one-game lead on the Bills as far as the number one seed and getting a bye in the playoffs. And
okay.
I know I'm getting really deep into the weeds here, but it's just there's still a lot to play for.
All right.
So I don't think, you know, the rest won't come until later if it comes at all, if it happens at all.
All right. Well, listen, I'm just glad we're in the playoffs, because I was in New York and we just heard about the end of the game. And I go, so basically the other team let us have it. I was like, whew, all right. But again, you don't apologize for a win, man. You take it where you can get it, man.
Well, it's the game a few games ago when they blocked, you know, the field goal on Denver to get the win. And then this time it's, you know, a fumble and, you know, yeah, it's, you just take it, right? It's like, hey, you find ways to win.
Whether I was the best looking guy in the bar, or the last guy in the bar, I still got to go home with somebody. Like, that's, you know, whatever works, man.
Hey, but how cool, you know, like a Patrick Mahomes, he started, this is his seventh year as starter. Every year he has started, they've had 11 or more wins. I mean, his winning percentage, it's fun. I tell people, I'm like, everybody, Chiefs fans are spoiled. I mean, it's like, this is really special what's going on. And it's really cool to see as well. And see the way the city responds to it. The fact they're making movies about the Chiefs now, you know, everybody's talking about the Chiefs. So now it's become, we're the love team to now everybody is tired of Mahomes, tired of the Chiefs. Okay.
Now,
that's why you see everybody jumping on the bandwagon, or not the bandwagon, but everybody's jumping behind the Bills and you know, some of the other teams, just like, okay, somebody's got to be able to knock the Chiefs off. And it's been a great run. It's a fun run.
Well, I mean, literally, no, it is so obvious to me why people would be sick of us. Hallmark movies about the Kansas City Chiefs. Taylor Swift falls in love with Travis Kelce, and it's real. Like, it goes multiple seasons. You've got Patrick Mahomes, which is this phenomenal thing that nobody's seen yet. You know, and then the Kelce brothers and that podcast, yeah, and everything, and their mother, and just the way the whole thing. Look, I would hate me. Like, you just go, come on, man. It's too much. It is that, truly the embarrassment of riches, right? Like, it's so much good. It's enjoy it, man, because again, rain's always going to come, and if it's raining, sun will happen, but you just got to take it while you got it.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a good run, and you know, the fun part about the movie for me is, watching the movie is how many different cameos, like, that people don't realize. There are people that work for the organization that they placed within that movie.
Oh, that's
like,
great.
That like, for them and their families, and for people that know, like, the Chiefs as a business, that they're like in the background, or they have a little scene, or that, you know, it's like, I started going through it and I was like, oh, and my, of course, you know, my family, they're like, you know, I'm like, oh, that's so-and-so. Oh, that's so-and-so. That's, you know, so what a cool thing for them, and a cool thing for the city. And you're, you know, the fact it was shot where it was, and then the first scene comes up, I'm like, that's right. Like, I know where that, you know, it's like, it was, I thought they did a great job with it.
It's awesome. All right, brother. Listen, hope you have a great day. By the way, what's your next game? Where are you going next?
I am going to Miami. So, it could be a great game. It's the Jets, who are having a really struggle season against the Dolphins, who are trying to get back into the playoff mix. But yeah, I'm not going to complain about going to 80-degree weather.
So, exactly.
It may not be the best game, but it'll be warmer. So,
the best. Mr. Trent Green, always good.
All right. All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, man.